Welcome back to the seventh episode of Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon. First up, we're joined by UFC bantamweight Frankie Edgar to preview his main event fight against Pedro Munhoz this Saturday night. He was supposed to fight at UFC 251, then got pushed back to the July 15th Fight Island card. We talked about whether or not he'd take a short notice fight, and now fighting five rounds, whether or not he likes that for his bantamweight debut. We also discussed what a win would do for him at bantamweight. A win could probably put him in that top 10, top 5, 1-2 wins away from the title shot just because of the name he has. Next up, we're joined by Ovince St. Preux, the co-main event on Saturday. We talked his short notice fight against Alonzo Menafield, what he thinks of John Jones vacating the light heavyweight belt. Next up, we're joined by Alonzo Menafield, who fights OSB. We talked about him taking this fight on just about 8-9 days notice, whether or not he wanted to take this fight or what he thought of taking this fight on a week notice, him coming off his first loss against Devin Clark, and how important this win is just get back in the win column and get back that hype he had entering that Clark fight. And finally, we're joined by Bellator middleweight John Salter to preview his Bellator 244 fight on Friday against Andrew Capel. We discussed whether or not he thought he should have gotten a title shot against Musasi or Lima. He believes Bellator is really keen on just making that Musasi-Lima fight, so he thinks he had to take one more fight. Capel's coming off that knockout KO of King Mo in his last fight, so really intriguing fight. Winner of this one's probably going to get the winner of Musasi-Lima, but that's all we have for your shows. I hope you guys enjoy.
All right, we're now joined by UFC bantamweight and former UFC lightweight champion, Frankie Edgar. Frankie, how's it going?
Doing well, Cole. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's get right into your fight. Has this just felt like one long training camp? Like, this fight's been booked like three times. I think this is the fourth time it's been booked for different dates.
Yeah, definitely feel like this is a marathon training camp. But, you know, we're just rolling with the punches, man. This ain't ideal times for anybody right now. So, you know, just got to do what I got to do.
When they approached you to fight August 22nd for the main event, was there any hesitation? Just like, man, just let me get this fight. Like, I just want to get this fight over with and stay on the 15th. Or was an immediate yes to headline another card?
Yeah, I wanted to get over with, man. I want to be 2 weeks away instead of three. So, you know, but the UFC is always good to me. So, of course, I'm going to take that main event slot, too. I think that's, you know, it's a good opportunity as well.
Did you go to Fight Island or did you knock it on that flight because you knew Pedro was tested positive?
Yeah, I didn't make it to Fight Island. I was in Vegas. You know, we quarantined. We got me and my team got all tested. I think we were about 3 hours from getting on the bus to head to the airport when I found out he wasn't going to make it. You know, he got tested positive.
Was there ever talk for you? Because I know a couple bantamweights immediately jumped up, like Ricky Simone, Cody Stamen, Jimmy Rivera. They were all saying, oh, I'll take that fight. Were you ever interested in taking a short notice fight, or was it always, let's just rebook this Pedro fight?
Yeah, I wanted to just rebook the Pedro fight, man. I've been jumped every time I jump in at you know, a short notice fight. I kind of hasn't been going my way, and not that you know, I'm afraid to do that, but you know, I just felt like training was going well. I figured we can get it rebooked quickly. You know, from what I hear, Pedro really wasn't sick, so you know, just had to get past this test, and you know, a month later we got rebooked, so not that big of a deal.
Is it better too in Vegas? You don't have that long flight to Abu Dhabi and all that quarantine time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is better, I guess, in the hindsight with that stuff. You know, the long flight I'm looking forward to having to be quarantined for 48 hours. This is going to be much simpler, I imagine. So I'm okay with that. Of course, I wish I ready for it and I'm relaxing and you know enjoying summer. But you know, a couple more weeks of work ain't going to kill anybody.
Well, last time we talked, you had the long beard. Did the summer heat, did you shave it off because of that?
Yeah, I could. You know, I don't know if I could fight with that thing or especially the summertime. It's a little humid here in Jersey. So, you know, we got rid of it for now. We'll see what the winter brings.
Pedro's a guy that you've been booked a couple times. What intrigues you so much with this matchup to keep wanting to make this fight happen?
It's not a matchup, man. It doesn't really matter to me, the guy or anything like that. It's just that, you know, I was planning to fight this guy. I was getting ready to fight this guy. So, you know, we thought it was the best way is just waiting for him to get better. You know, so shit, if he gets another positive though, we're fighting anybody come July or August 22nd.
And when you got the call for main event, I know your bantamweight debut, we talked earlier, you said he kind of just wanted three rounds to see how you feel at bantamweight. What changed for you to now decide to go five rounds? Because we obviously know you have the cardio to go five, but at the beginning you said you just wanted three rounds for your bantamweight debut just to test the waters.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been dieting. I got pretty close. You know, I was about 9 days out from a weigh-in, and my weight was, you know, really, really good. So I figured, that was the only issue. I wanted to see how I would feel coming down. I've been feeling great, so you know, I'm okay with going five. I mean, I think this is my 16th fifth round fight, so I'm pretty accustomed to it at this point.
Do you think that does benefit you? Because he's never headlined UFC shows. This is going to be his first time going five rounds.
I mean, yeah, I guess experience always helps, you know. But doesn't mean you're you know, a foot in because you've done it before the other guy hasn't, you know. But you know, experience only helps, guys.
You obviously are headlining the show on big ESPN, but are you kind of disappointed you're not on this big pay-per-view? Like, you have DC Stipe, you have like Junior Dos Santos, Sean O'Malley on the card. Like, it seemed to be a really big pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you always want to be on those big cards, but you know, when duty calls, UFC needs a main event, I'm always willing to step up.
What has this camp been like since you got back to Vegas? Did you take a couple weeks off or a week off just to, so you're not consistently going, or did you just stay right in camp for this date?
I took a week off. Kind of went on a Jersey Shore food tour, you know, gained a bunch of weight and relaxed for a little bit, let my body rest, and then I've been turning it up for the last few weeks.
Do you think this extra time does benefit you just so you can have longer time to get down to 135?
I was already on my way. I just, you know, the more time you have, I guess, more time to prepare, I guess, you know. But, you know, we're both in the same boat, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Now that you were close, like, does part of you wish that, man, I should have been a bantamweight my whole career? Or is it still a tough cut to get down there?
I mean, I haven't been at flatweight quite yet, but I've been very, very close. And I mean, honestly, I've probably been a bantamweight my whole career, you know. But I think that's just a testament to what kind of fighter I am. You know, I was able to win it, you know, not one, but two weight classes up from here.
Yeah. Do you think that makes your legs even better? Because you're obviously going to be a future UFC Hall of Famer, but you're a guy that won probably against guys that were probably 30, 40 pounds heavier than you. Like, if people are going to send you a small featherweight, so to win at lightweight is pretty incredible.
No, yeah, I think it does. It's, you know, I don't know if everyone notices that, you know, only people, I guess, in the fight world can realize that. I think fans don't realize that stuff. They don't realize how much guys cut weight and how much bigger they are on fight night. But yeah, it's just a feather in my cap. That's kind of the fighter I wanted to be. It shouldn't be about size and all that stuff. It's about skill and what else you bring to the table. But, you know, now that I'm going to be, you know, comparable to the guys I'm fighting, and I don't think I'm going to be the biggest guy at 35 either. So, you know, yeah, I'm happy that I went the route I did. And, you know, we ended up at 35, a little late, but we're here.
You're going to have a 7-inch reach advantage over Pedro. What's that going to be like? This is probably one of your only times in your career you're going to be the taller and have the reach advantage.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like, man. So, you know, I think maybe Uriah, we had similar reach advantages. I think that might have been it. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be nice to be on that end. But, you know, again, I'm not really used to being – I'm used to being the guy having to get inside. So we'll see how it works out.
Does that kind of change the way you're going to fight just because you are going to be the bigger and you don't have to force to go inside all the time?
I don't know. I go forward. You know, he goes forward. I'm sure we're going to meet in the middle. You know, like I said, I've never really fought guys that I'm taller than. You know, maybe in the gym a little bit here and there. But, you know, I kind of fight one way.
The smaller octagon at the Apex, how do you think that's going to impact the fight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I fought in the small octagon. I fought in the big octagon. You know, if it brings more action, then I like it. You know, I'm definitely an action guy. I have the conditioning for it. I have the pace for it. So, you know, and you know, in a smaller cage, you got to move your feet more. That means you got to work more.
How do you see this fight playing? Because this fight's really intriguing. I could, like, it could go so many different ways. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a stand-up fight or you implement your wrestling and it becomes a ground fight. Like, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah. I think it could touch all facets of the game. You know, that's kind of how I approach every fight. I'm definitely going to be in his face, looking to push the pace. And if the takedown's there, I'm going to try to utilize it. And I'm sure him too. He's a very good jiu-jitsu guy, especially on top. I'm sure if he sees a takedown, he's going to, you know, go for it as well.
You're obviously a big name. There's a new bantamweight champion. Like, do you think a win over Pedro, you're probably only one win away from getting that title shot just because of your name?
Yeah, I think I'm always in the game, you know, as long as I win fights and beat the right guys, you know, based on what I've done in my career and in the resume I have, I think I'm always in that conversation.
If you were to become the bantamweight champion, what do you think that does for your legacy? Not winning two belts, but winning two belts 20 pounds away from each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's never been done, I guess. I could be the first to say they won, you know, two weight classes apart, but you know, I've been gunning for a second belt since 2012, so you know, I'm just worried about winning fights right now and fighting the right guys.
Your division obviously has a new champion in Peter Yan. What you make of his performance against Jose Aldo? That's a guy that you fought twice.
Yeah, I think he looked good. You know, Aldo slowed down towards the later part of that fight. But yeah, Yan's legit, man. 35 is some killers right now.
And someone you worked with, did you get a chance to work with Cody Garbrandt for this rescheduled one, or is it more just for that July date and he wasn't able to get back out there?
No, he hasn't been able to come back, but we worked out for, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, previously in June and July.
Well, what's that like? He's a guy that fought Pedro. Is he giving you a lot of tips on what he's like?
Yeah, he definitely giving me some things, you know, best as he can, but, you know, we're different fighters too. And I'm sure Pedro's going to be a different fighter from then. That was a while back, but yeah, there's always a little bit of, information we're trying to share with each other.
Has it been frustrating for you just this long layoff? Like, you were a guy that was booked in January, took that short notice. Then it seems like every single month in 2020, you've pretty much been booked, but it's been delayed. Like, has it been frustrating just been like, man, when am I going to get to actually step in there?
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely, I'm anxious to get in there. You know, training gets boring after a while. You get sick of just, you know, punching the clock and, you know, putting in the rounds. You want to put it to use. So I'm excited to, you know, put my work to use and show everybody what I've been working on.
You're a guy, you fought the who's who of lightweight and featherweight. Is it intriguing now for you where these are all fresh matchups for you at bantamweight and these are guys that you haven't fought before? Because a lot of those top guys at featherweight, it'd be rematches for you.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like a fresh palate here. You get new guys, fresh blood. I mean, you know, these guys are young too. So, yeah, it's always exciting. You know, you're not looking up the same ladder. It's a different ladder now we're trying to climb.
Pedro is ranked 7. Like, where do you think that win puts you? You think that gets you into that top 10, maybe even top 5?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if he's 7 and I go in there and handle business, I guess that puts me around somewhere where he's at.
Barring everything goes well, are you hoping to get one more this year just so you can get 2 this year, just because it's been a long time just with all the canceled fights?
Yeah, ideally, if everything works out the way I hope it does, you know, I would like to get in maybe end of November, December, give myself a little time to in between fights and get one more this year for sure.
Before we talked before your fight in July, but that ended up getting moved, you said Aldo's a guy that if everything turns out well, you would like to fight at bantamweight. Now that he lost to Yan, do you think that's kind of out the window for now of a trilogy fight at bantamweight?
I don't know. You know, if he had the belt, then I'd probably, you know, want to fight him. Do I, you know, I mean, hey, if they come to me with that fight, I mean, I wouldn't say no. You know, but the only guy I'm calling out is the guy that has the title. That's always been my MO.
Is there some intrigue for you to fight those, like, big-name guys at bantamweight, like a Uriah again or a Dominic Cruz, even though they're below you in the rankings if you beat Pedro, but they just have those big names. They're the legends of the bantamweight division.
I mean, yeah, you know, they're good names to have, man. They're legends in this sport. You know, I already have fought Uriah, but Dominic Cruz has been, you know, a legend in this game. He's one of the best 35ers we've had. So, yeah, I mean, those are always enticing names to fight.
And the old bit that you were in, the featherweight title, what'd you make of that Holloway-Volkanovski fight? A lot of people are saying Holloway won. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, I thought it was a close fight. I had Holloway winning. I thought he won the first three. Volkanovski did a good job of closing the gap in 3 and 4, or 4 and 5. But even those rounds were close too. So it's just tough, man. It's kind of hard to judge sometimes. I know people are calling it a robbery. I don't know if it's necessarily a robbery, but I did have Holloway winning.
Do you think MMA should look into those pride, like what one championship does, just score the whole fight, not round by round?
Yeah, I think it should be round by round, and then that whole fight too. I think that would add. I don't know how that would work honestly, but I think that would add another layer to it all. You know, sometimes you know, if a guy wins the fight big in the first round, say it's a 3-round fight, guy wins the fight first round pretty big, 10-8, and the next guy goes 10-9, 10-9, that's a draw right there. I think sometimes maybe, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Maybe that should mean well too.
What do you think they do? Like, do you think they give that Holloway the trilogy fight, or do you think it's going to be the Zabit Yair winner?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's tough. From the sound of Dana, sounds like he wants to give that you know, Yair a fight again. But it's tough. I mean, you know, he definitely lost the first one, Holloway. The second one, I did have him winning. I think Holloway's a great champion, a great guy, so I wouldn't mind seeing him get it. But, of course, you know, Zabit, he gets a pretty dominating win over a year. I think he's very deserving as well.
How do you, that's guy you've trained with for years, Zabit. How do you think he matched up against Volkanovski? Because Zabit versus anyone at featherweight, it's an exciting fight.
Yeah, I mean, Zabit's a beast. I mean, you see him fight, man. He's only getting better, too. He's still kind of young in the sport, which is crazy. I mean, he's been doing it for since he's been a kid, but as far as the UFC goes. So he's only getting better and better, more well-rounded. And, yeah, I think he matches up well with anybody. I think he's a future champion.
Your coach, Mark Henry, he did, to me, he doesn't get enough credit for Coach of the Year. Like, do you think he gets underestimated a lot for how smart of a mind he is?
I do, but I think people are starting to notice now. You know, you hear a lot of the announcers talking about Mark. A lot of the former fighters that have worked with Mark are starting to talk about him. So, you know, you can't keep you can't keep him down too long, man, because people are going to find out. It's almost good that people don't know so much about him.
I know you said you were close to 135, but is that still a worry getting down to that 135, 136? Is those last few pounds, every fighter talks about all those last 3-4 pounds are tougher. Do you think that's going to be no problem making weight?
I don't want to say no problem. You know, I need to go in there knowing it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, I'm sure. You know, making weight sucks any weight you have to make. You know, even when I was going down to 45, that last day just sucks because it sucks. You know, it's maybe more mental than anything, but you know, I know I'm going to get through it and get it done, but we'll see how I feel in the process.
And fighting in front of no fans, you're a guy that you've been on some of these massive cards, some of the biggest cards the UFC's done. What's that going to be like for going these sold out shows to now having no fans?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's going to be different, man. I keep watching these fights on TV and try to put myself in that position, but you know, it's like a Saturday sparring session. You know, you're in the gym. You got, you know, some coaches cheering for him, you know, coaching him. You got some coaches cheering for you and giving you instruction. And that's kind of what it's going to feel like to me.
How much better is it, too, now fighting in Vegas where you're not fighting at, like, 5 a.m. local time in Abu Dhabi and you're actually fighting at a reasonable time?
Yeah, that's great. You know, I think those guys out there had to try to stay on the American clock or the you know, U.S. time. And, yeah, so I'm lucky that I kind of could avoid all that stuff. Vegas, I mean, I probably fought in Vegas. It's probably the most that anywhere I have fought before, so I'm definitely comfortable there.
And just the last thing, I know Marlon doesn't train with you guys anymore, but you guys were training partners for a long time. Is him and Cody about like the only two guys at bantamweight you wouldn't fight?
Yeah, you know, those guys, you know, when I trained with them, me and Marlon became very, very good friends. Me and Cody have been getting close over the past, you know, year. And yeah, you know, if I could avoid fighting those guys, I would definitely do that. There's no need. I'm in a point in my career where I think I don't need to fight those guys.
All right, well, Frankie, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Cole. Take care, bro.
Yeah.
All right, we're joined by UFC light heavyweight Ovince St. Preux. Ovince, how's it going?
Man, I can't complain, man. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good.
Yeah, it's fight week for you here. Co-main event. A different opponent, though. When did you find out that your opponent would be out?
Well, it was crazy. It was Thursday, and I just woke up from a nap on Thursday, looked at my email, and they were like, a pony change. And I'm like, what? Now, I kind of figured it out from there. But you know, I'm used to it. It happened before. It happened, I mean, to be honest, it happened quite often. So I'm used to it now.
And you're obviously fighting Alonzo Menifield. Was there any talk of, hey, maybe we just wait and get this Gam's Top Fight rebooked? Or was it kind of an immediate yes to stay on this card?
I mean, I wanted to stay on the card. Man, people don't understand sometimes. Sometimes you can be like, no, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want to take the risk. You know, I need to know more about this guy, whatnot. Man, I'm feeling really good right now. And I've been busting my butt on this camp. And, like, I was literally a week out. And there's no way, as much work as I put in, to hold that work and actually have to put that work again. And, like, literally, I was like, nah, we're going to go for it.
Your last fight was at heavyweight. After that result, the split decision loss to Ben Rothwell, was there any talk of you staying at heavyweight, or did you think you're better at 205?
There were talk with me staying at heavyweight. You know, if there's the right matchup, I'll definitely be willing to fight a heavyweight. Because I mean, if you really think about it, you know, my first fight at heavyweight, fighting Ben Rothwell, who fought pretty much, you know, everybody at heavyweight, who's probably the most durable heavyweight. And, you know, I dropped him twice. And if I would have known, I was able to do that because, you know, I've never seen Ben get dropped in a fight. But if I was ever If I'd known I was going to be able to do that, I probably would have stayed in the pocket a little bit longer. But it is what it is. It was a good experience. I know what to expect now. Next time I go back up there. But other than that, it's up to my trainer. If my trainer feel like it's a good matchup, I'll definitely do it.
And you're fighting Alonzo Menafield. He's coming off his first career loss to Devin Clark. Before that was knocking everyone out. Two wins in the UFC in the first round. Like, how much do you know about Alonzo? Because he's a guy that's on the come up.
He is definitely on the come up, but I mean, he's one of those guys that's hungry. He's got heavy hands. But it's different, man. You know, in this fight game, you can't only have heavy hands. Like, you know, I used to do that, you know, when I was coming up. But now it's just, if people were to ask what type of fighter I was when I first got in the game, people would be like, oh, he's a knockout artist. And now people think I'm a submission artist. But don't forget, I still can knock people out. So, you got to have more than that. So, you know, me, I'm still evolving. I'm still growing. So right now I can knock you out with my hands. I can knock you out with my feet, and I can get you with a submission that you don't know is going to be coming.
So that's what you're the Von Flu choke really should be the Von Pru choke. How many more do you think you can get? Cause you have the record for that choke, and it seems like you just pull it out of nowhere when you get them.
I mean, people don't realize that I can get him from practically anywhere. Not only from side him out, not only from half guard, not only from – I can get in people's – you grab a guillotine on me and I'm in your guard, I can finish a Von Flu choke from there. I can finish it – you know, if you grab a guillotine against the cage, I can finish it against the cage standing up. So I can grab it from pretty much anywhere. If you touch my head in any type of way, I can get to my favorite position. And if I get there, you know, is you freaking out, don't know what's going on, and is me possibly getting a bonus.
How come, or why do you think we don't see more of those? Because you're like the only guy really hitting those chokes right now.
Because a lot of time people would take it and be like, oh, those moves don't work. They don't think it works. You'd be like, oh, I'm just going to pull my arm out. But with your hand is stuck. You can't do anything. You're based on a lockdown position, and I'm cutting all the circulation. I mean, sometimes people work on them. I've seen other people do it. A ton of people in my gym do it. I don't know. It's crazy. I think it'll get around even more, but I don't know why people don't do it.
And moving back down to light heavyweight, your last light heavyweight fight, you got a big win over Alek Jaychuk. What do you think a win over Alonzo does for you? He's not a ranked guy, but he's a guy with a lot of hype behind him.
Just a win for me right now, just like, especially at the light heavyweight division. Just another win. I mean, I'm working my way back up the rankings and whatnot, and there's a lot of new faces up there. And, you know, I don't see a lot of – it's crazy, the newer guys, you see a lot of high-level stuff going on. But at the end of the day, just like, I know I can compete with those guys. You know, my fight back in September, my guy came out of blazing fire, and I'm like, okay, he'll eventually slow down. And when he slowed down, it's basically me taking over the fight. You know, same thing. My cardio feels amazing. My weight right now is great. So I think fight week I'll come in and I only have to lose like 13 pounds. So I haven't been able to do that in a while. Even my fight in September, that weight cut was amazing. And I still had to cut like 22, 23 pounds. So this fight is roughly about 13, 14 pounds. So I'm good, man. I'm feeling really good.
In Alonzo's last fight, we saw Clark have a lot of success bringing him into the later rounds, really use his grappling. Is that part of the game plan, is to just get past that first round and then start bringing in your pressure and your grappling on him?
Nah, man. You know, right now, the way I'm feeling, the way my cardio has been feeling, if I can break him the first round, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break him the first round, whether it's striking, whether, you know, it's grappling. This is different when you actually feel somebody just as strong as you about your size. I got a longer reach than he does. And, you know, I can utilize more, I think I can utilize more weapons than Clark did. And that's what I'm going to do.
I don't know how much you pay attention to this, but you're the betting underdog in this fight. What do you think about that? You're an experienced guy, and he's probably doesn't have – you like being the underdog?
Oh, yeah. But people don't realize. People see Manafield's fights. I mean, he sees the knockouts that he's coming off of and whatnot. And I'm like, all right, cool. And, you know, my thing is I look at the fight, and when I look at it, I'm looking at it from a perspective as the first guy that he fought. He actually is what, like, I don't even, he actually was one, I don't think he want to fight. He's been getting knocked out his past couple of fights. So, you know, if he knocked him out, I could make a highlight out of him too. You know, Paul Craig used to fight at 85. He's more of a ground guy, not a stand-up. You know, you put him against a cage and you land a couple punches, not hard to finish him. And, you know, Devin Clark kind of exploded him. So, you know, now it's just me kind of actually going in there and just doing my thing. If I fight my fight, I'm going to end up being good.
You're a dangerous guy. You're like, you have a lot of knockouts, and recently you've been putting a lot of submissions. Like, how do you see this fight playing out? Like, do you think you get, or I assume you're obviously thinking you're getting a stoppage, but do you think you're going to get be able to knock him out, or are you going for that submission?
Man, it's whatever he gives me. To be honest, a lot of times I've been working. It's crazy because I've been working a lot on my stand up, just transitioning and being more fluid, moving around. But for some reason, like, you know, the fight, wherever the fight ends up, I'm going to have the advantage. If it ends up on the ground, I think I'm definitely going to have the advantage, whether I'm on top or he's on top. You know, striking wise, he throws a lot of big punches, and I hope he can slow them down a little bit, because, you know, I used to be one of those guys throwing a lot of big punches, and they take a lot of energy throwing that. And it's bad when you actually start getting picked apart, because you can't throw the punches like you need to. So it should be interesting. I'm pretty excited about it.
You've been on some massive cards. Two of the biggest in the promotion was 217 and 229. You're now going to be fighting back again in front of no fans. You've already done it once, but like, how different is it for you fighting in front of no crowd and all that compared to when you were fighting in front of these thousand sold out crowds?
Man, to be honest, it's not any difference at all. I mean, I can hear my coach a lot better, but, you know, typically when I was in, even going in the other fights when I was in bigger cars, I never really heard anything. And I can always hear my coach, just regardless. And I think it's not going to be any difference at all.
If everything goes your way on Saturday, like, do you have your eye on anyone of who you want to fight, or like a ranked guy, or are you just hoping like maybe a ranked guy is next for you?
Yeah, more than likely a ranked guy is going to be next. I mean, right now, the way I'm feeling, the way I'm actually, I kind of revamped myself, I'm feeling great. So I can't complain about at all. So my thing is top 15, top 10, top 5, and I'm taking over. It's one of them things where I'm not worried about it, just because, like, I want people to feel like I'm phased out or whatnot. So when I actually come in, they're going to be like, oh, shoot, where the hell he came from. Almost like a, you know, a game bread type of deal. George Mosledal, like, he came out of nowhere. So, you know, people thought he was out, and the next thing you know, he had that year and a half that he came out of nowhere. So that's what I'm going to end up doing.
This is your second fight of the year. If everything goes well inside, are you hoping you can get another one in by the end of this year?
I mean, it's possible, man. I'll be trying to keep myself active as much as possible. You know, given this whole, COVID situation, it makes it hard for everything, for people to stay as active as they want to. So I've been trying to, that's what I want to do. I want to stay active. When I stay active, it kind of keeps my mind sharp. It kind of keeps my, everything going. So, you know, if this fight gets out the way and I do good work and I come out unscathed, I'll definitely take a fight before the year's over with.
I don't know if you saw, but like an hour ago, John Jones said he's officially vacated the light heavyweight belt. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I just kind of read up on that. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what the reason being is, but I don't know. I think about it. I'm just like, okay, I'll figure that out after the fight. But as of right now, it's just like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, somebody's going to be fighting for the title.
Well, they've already booked Dominic Reyes, Jan Blachowicz for the Israel Costa cards. I assume that one's probably going to be the vacant belt.
It might be, but I don't know what his plan is going to be. Either he's going to go up at heavyweight, or I don't know what he's going to do.
As someone that fought him and a light heavyweight that's gone up to heavyweight, how do you think Jones would fare at heavyweight?
I mean, if he can, he won't have to cut weight. The only difference is just like, like I said, it's just like with me is is me finding out like the movement of the heavyweight. There's definitely more power at heavyweight. They're definitely a lot slower. He definitely can pick them apart and take them into the later rounds. And I think if he's able to do that, like, I mean, he actually does that at light heavy. He takes you into the later rounds and actually pick you apart. But if he can do that, I think he should be fine at heavyweight. But the thing about heavyweight too, like even at 205, some of the shots that he takes some shots. And the thing about taking shots at heavyweight, some of those guys you do not want to take shots from.
And just last thing, your fight is obviously at the Apex, smaller octagon too. How do you think that's going to play a factor in this one?
It makes good for me. I mean, small octagon for me, it doesn't mean anything. I think my wrestling is better than his. My cage work, I think, is better than his too. So I'm not worried about it. But it makes for a faster fight when it's a small octagon, just because, you know, 1 minute, you don't have a lot of room to move around. So that means you're expending a lot of energy and whatnot. And that's going to be good for me. So I'm good with a small octagon. For some reason, I actually do better with a small octagon anyways.
Well, Ovin, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we're joined by UFC light heavyweight Alonzo Menifield. Alonzo, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Short notice fight here. When did you find out you'd be fighting Ovin St. Preux on August 22nd?
Yesterday. So that was Thursday.
So week and a half notice, basically. What kind of went through your head when you got the call saying, hey, this might be an option?
I was like, let's go. Given my nature of that last performance, man, I need to get it out of my mouth, out of my existence, you know, move forward. So I'm like, I'm ready, you know. Been training like a madman because of it. So, yeah, I'm like, why not?
Well, that's what I want to touch on is your last fight. Obviously, your first loss, lost to Devin Clark, who's a really tough guy. You had a lot of success in that first round, and then he won the second, third round. What do you take away from that loss?
Never go in there in that cage without knowing that your body or your mind is 100%. And what I take from, I got grit. Given the nature of that fight, I just got to tune it up as far as cardiovascular endurance. And then, I should definitely, be a better me. That's what I took away from that fight.
That was also your first fight in a year. You were dealing with injury. Do you think that played any factor, that long layoff?
Yeah, it did. I didn't think it would, but it did. So, given that nature, no excuse. Devin Clark is an animal, man. He did his thing. Given my nature, I wasn't, 100%. And it is what it is, right?
Are you surprised you're fighting a guy like Ovin St. Preux just coming off that loss? Because Ovin St. Preux is a well-known guy. He's been a guy that – he fought John Jones for an interim title before.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool, man. It allows me to finally see where I stand and get me into that, full range of UFC options. And, just because I'm ready to see where I'm at. And I'm excited. And I'm happy for this bout. In particular,
if you look down OSP's record at light heavyweight, he really only loses to those top guys like Dominic Reyes, Volkan Oezdemir, John Jones, Glover. Then he has a couple losses to like Jimmy Manuwa, Nikita Krylov, who are top 10 guys. So do you think a win here, like what do you think that win over him would do for you? Because like I mentioned, it's only top guys that really beat him.
Right. I think a win, definitely propel me. He's a big name in the sport. He's been around for a while. So given that, I'm like, this is very important. I did the work, and you'll be able to see it come this week, next weekend.
And we obviously know OSP's ground game is really good. He has a lot of submissions, has that Von Flue choke. Is obviously the game plan then just to keep this one standing and you don't really want any part of the ground, or would you want to test yourself on the ground against him?
Right, I'm an MMA fighter first and foremost, so ground is fine. Striking is always better. But, I work it all. So if it goes wherever it goes, I'll try to, do my best. But no, striking, I would like to keep it standing. And if, you know, he wants to go to the ground, you know, we try to implement our game plan and, yeah, execute it.
I was just looking at his record. The last time he was actually knocked out was against Jimmy Manuel on UFC 204. Dominic Reyes technically knocked him out, but I guess the bell saved him. So is this a fight you think you can get another early finish? Just because we obviously know you have a lot of knockout power. When you win, you tend to win pretty early into the fight.
Right. No, I don't think it'll be an early knockout. I think it'll probably be a dogfight, given that, you know, he's been in there in tough battles and he's been dropped in the first round all the time and a lot of his fights, and he's been able to recover. So I think he's going to come out of the fight, and I'm just getting prepared for that mentally. So if it's a 3-round war, I've been there and I've done that. So I'm like feeling like, yeah, this is right.
That's almost, even though you lost to Clark, how important do you think that fight will be in your career now that you know what going 3 rounds is like, what kind of being in that dogfight, because it was a back and forth fight, is like?
Yeah, you know, being that dogfight, it allowed me to see, like, okay, so I should push myself to a certain level beyond what I thought I could go. And I've done that. And that dogfight helped me realize that. So I'm, like, thinking, like, this is going to be an awesome 3-round war. And if it goes shorter than that, then so be it. You know, I just plan to be the victor.
Is the weight cut or cardio a concern, just taking it on a week and a half notice, or is your weight and all that training's all good?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, like I said, since Devin Clark, you know, I've been training like a madman, just trying to fine tune myself and get back to how I used to feel. You know, so my coach is saying I've passed that level, so I'm happy with that.
After that last fight, was part of the goal to turn around soon and just get that bad taste out of your mouth?
Yeah. After I felt like I worked out on my problems as far as, you know, being physically fit and endurance, yeah, which I've done, and that probably would have took about two or three months. So, yeah, I'm feeling more than ready.
And this will be your second fight in this COVID era, no fans, smaller octagon. How much do you think now that will benefit you, just knowing what fight week's like and fighting in front of no fans again?
Yeah, I guess we're getting used to it. Would love the fans to be there. You know, that fan aurora is always pretty cool. But yeah, you know, I'm going to go in there thinking why I'm fighting and what I'm doing it for, and it'll help as far as not having any fans, and it'll be a blast. Yeah.
Fortis obviously has a lot of top middleweights, light heavyweights. Like, I know you and Ryan Spann work a lot together. You and Uriah Hall, are those kind of the guys you're working with for this one?
Yeah, I was working with them. Ryan Spann, Uriah Hall. You know, even Kennedy. He helps me and whatnot. So, yeah, I got some good guys that are helping me. And, yeah, just feeling blessed.
How disappointing has it been for the gym just seeing obviously what happened to Jeff Neal and then seeing Uriah Hall lose another fight, because he was supposed to fight Jacare, that was going to be a big fight for him. And then this Yoel Romero one is going to be even bigger, then he lost this one again. Like, as a teammate, how frustrating has that been just to see him do all this work and then not being able to get these big fights?
Yeah, it's been very frustrating in a sense for him. You know, I can imagine. For me, you know, I just feel for him because I see him working very hard. And, you know, when you do a fight, you know, and you go into a fight and you're about to get ready to fight, your mind is going into a certain type of zone. And given his nature and his level, you just feel for him in that aspect, because he's getting ready to go to war. And his skill sets and the way he trains, it shows it. So when those fights fall through and you don't get them, you're like, man, dang. So you feel kind of bad. And The important is to know, kind of, because you still got to train and move forward and, you know, get ready for the next, because opportunities are always available in the UFC.
OSP's last fight was at heavyweight. Like, what do you think he's going to look like now cutting back down to 205?
I don't know, man. OSP, I've seen a lot of his fights, and his cardio, the way he looks, his skills. I mean, I wouldn't know as far as that. But, I mean, he's definitely a veteran, and he's going to be a tough guy to beat. But I'm definitely that guy.
Do you think a win over OSP gets you into the rankings, or do you think you'd still need probably another one?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. Top dog, that's always a good thing. But I don't know. You know, given OSP, I guess, run and all that, it may propel me to the rankings. If it does, yay.
And this fight too, co-main event, under Frankie Edgar, Pedro Munhoz, which Frankie Edgar is a kind of a legend of this sport. Anyone tuned in to see him, so be a co-main event under him. What's that going to be like for you?
Wow, man, I didn't even think about that until now. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, you know, I better get some rest for that night or before the fight. Yeah, it's pretty cool to be co-main, and thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, pressure. And, you know, feeling, you know, all the emotions a fighter feel, just getting ready. And I'm feeling more amped. I will feel more amped as I get to the fight.
You've obviously seen even some of your teammates, they're turning around pretty quickly in this COVID era just because they need a lot of U.S. fighters. Barring everything goes well on Saturday night, how are you hoping to fight at least once more this year?
Yeah, definitely. So I get this in August. Hopefully I get another one. Maybe even two more. Who knows?
That Devin Clark fight, is that one you'd like to get back down the line?
Right? Heck yeah, I would love to get that one back. But, I mean, moving forward, we'll see. I talked to Devin Clark. He's cool. So if he's up there and it makes sense, yeah, I would love to run it back with Devin Clark.
And your teammate Ryan Spann fighting Johnny Walker. What do you think of that matchup? Just because Johnny Walker has a lot of hype, and if Ryan wins that one, he could really be getting pushed up there pretty soon.
Yeah, and he deserves it, man. He's 180 his whole mindset as far as training and getting serious about it. So given that fight and Johnny Walker, man, I'm excited for him. That's a pretty exciting fight, and it definitely is going to be a fun, entertaining by Ryan, you know, of course, Johnny Walker. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Who's going to be cornering you for this fight? I assume Safe's going to be your main guy, and then who else is joining you?
I was going to have Ryan again, and then bring Coach Skatia, my fitness coach. We were trying to do Uriah, but I don't know if we can have four corners.
Having Uriah at the gym now, he's probably been there for what now? Over a year, I think it's been. What's it been like having him as an addition? Because he's been at the top of the game for so long, and he knows what fighting in these big fights are like.
Yeah, you know, you see him and how he prepares. So far, it taught me is like you got to work on your skills constantly, whether that's in the morning, midday, at night, constantly work on the skills. And, you know, when you get to work, as far as training, you just got to make sure you're ready to work. And having him there, I've been able to develop that and train, you know, efficient, you know, in a way I should.
Whenever I see you fight, you're a massive guy. How are you not a heavyweight? Like, it seems like you're a massive light heavyweight.
No, I'm not massive. I guess I have some muscles.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm like walking around here like 217 right now.
Wouldn't be no heavyweight.
Yeah, the max I'll get right now, if I was to, you know, let myself go, is 225, and then I'm like freaking out. So I don't know. When I did fall at heavyweight, I was 222 pounds. My first fight in a professional fight. I was 222 fighting a guy. I think it was like 149 or 249. So I don't know. It's football. Football made me look the way I look.
How important is this fight for you to win? Just get back in the win column and start to build that confidence back up and just start building a winning streak again.
Oh yeah, it's definitely important. It's up there, you know, to high priorities and very, very important. And I take it very serious. To get up there and, you know, next week, Saturday, win, and getting that win column, because you got to win in this sport, you know? No win, no dinero. No dinero, no freedom, no good opportunity. So it's all about the win.
And just last thing, you obviously, I don't like the UFC pay the show and win, but you obviously didn't get half your paychecks. Now getting this one, is that more crucial just because you were off for a year trying to get that the other half of your paycheck this fight?
Right. This is a hard COVID-19 year. So, you know, the nickels, the pennies, or whatever, the dollar, they all add up. So I'm in need, and I'm excited, and I'm hungry. And, yeah, so let's go.
Just one more thing is your UFC contract. Is this your last fight or have you renegotiated again?
Renegotiated.
All right. Yeah. Well, Alonzo, thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Have a good one. All right. We're joined by Bellator middleweight John Salter. John, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's get into your fight. Andrew Kaipel. Kind of came out of nowhere, like really short notice. When did you first find out about you'd be fighting this date and fighting Andrew?
Originally, I'm trying to think about 5.5 weeks out from the fight. I originally got notice that I was going to be fighting Anatoly Tokov. And then I believe with everything going on, there was trouble getting him in the country and getting a visa for him. So then I figured out, you know, after decently quick, that was not going to work out because I wasn't getting a contract, and then they were able to get Andrew Pell or Kapo, I'm afraid I'm pronouncing his name wrong either way I say it, but got him on pretty quickly. So I was probably about 4.5 weeks out, maybe 5 full weeks out, but you know, he's a guy that I knew a little bit from because he knocked out Mo LaWall on the same card I fought on last. So yeah, I knew a little bit about him. But
how hard has it been for you not being able to fight since November? Because you're a guy that you like to fight pretty often, and just not being able to fight in almost a year now. How frustrating has that been?
You know, it's obviously frustrating, but I, you know, as soon as everything started getting shut, you kind of just knew it was going to be a possibility that I wouldn't fight for a while. And I just tried to go ahead and have that mind frame that it's going to be a while. And then when fights start back, it's going to be fast. So I need to stay in shape, but understand that it's not going to be too fast. So it hadn't been too mentally taxing or anything. We've just been trying to have fights more prepped and I'll take one on not short notice, but not a full training camp either.
Are you surprised you're not in like a number one contender or another notable guy in middleweight? Because your last win, I think a lot of people thought you were closing in on a title shot, if not getting a title shot.
You know, I was really hoping that. I know with COVID, a lot of stuff is messed up, and I knew it was going to be tough because, you know, you can't get Musasi in the fight, can't get Tokov in the fight. I really thought it would probably be a good time for me and Lima to fight for the title because he wants to come up. But, you know, Bellator's putting fights on the way they can right now. I'm just happy to be able to fight with what's going on and appreciative to them over this. But hopefully soon, I think I've done what I need to earn it. I had, you know, a good fight with Lovato, and then with him stepping down and leaving the title vacant, I think I'm the guy to fight for it. And hopefully that decision will be made after this fight.
Obviously, Andrew's coming off his Bellator debut, a big knockout over King Mo in King Mo's retirement fight. How much do you know about him other than that?
Well, it was tough to find some video of him. I finally found some on UFC Fight Pass, and he's a tough guy. He fights well everywhere. You know, he's one of those guys that when he's on his back, he's not afraid to fight up from bottom, throw punches and elbows from bottom. He's looking for submissions. A lot of rear naked choke wins where he does a good job on top. And he's had several kickboxing matches. You know, I think his background is kickboxing, and he's just pretty good everywhere. He's good everywhere else, but I think his real background is kickboxing. but I think he's got old style Muay Thai style where my movement's going to give him a hard time to beat.
With Cable, he is obviously a guy that he got a lot of hype after the last one on a pretty big winning streak, but we've seen him get finished before on the regional scenes. We obviously know you have a lot of finishing power and your submission game. So is this a fight you think you can get another finish?
That's all the goal. Yeah, I think when people watch me fight, I think this finish, and I what we'll do on my side, and Costello, but I think that's what people expect. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to get the finish, but I also got to accept this guy does a good job of fighting for three rounds, and he's always going to be there ready to fight. So I, you know, I've got to go into it expecting for a three-round battle and hoping I can get out of it.
Are you hoping a win here gets you a title shot?
Yeah, obviously that's the ultimate goal. You know, I think I've got to look at it somewhat realistically of, you know, I've just got to keep winning and eventually I'll get it. But obviously every fight is the one where you go, all right, please let this one be the one. And, you know, I'm working hard every day to be ready to fight for that title. So I hope this is the one that gets there.
If Bellator ends up doing Lima Musasi, how do you see that one playing? Because it's going to be interesting to see what Lima looks like at 185.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you towards the end of that. Do you mind repeating that question?
With Bellator seems to be wanting to do Lima Musasi, how do you see that one playing out? Just because it's going to be interesting to see what Lima looks like at middleweight. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think I look at a couple of different ways. Lima is such, I mean, I think at 170, he's the most dangerous striker in the world. So he's a dangerous guy for anybody to fight. I think it could be, he really hurt somebody on the feet. And I see Musasi possibly have a hard time getting Lima to the ground. But at the same time, I think one thing that has really helped Lima a lot is at 170, he's so much bigger than him. And I think it would be a big difference at 185 because he's not going to be the big guy, but he's still going to be that explosive striker that hurts you every time he does something.
What do you think it's going to be like for you fighting in front of no fans here?
Oh, you know, that's something we talked about a lot. How is that going to go? Is it going to cause more of an adrenaline dump, less of an adrenaline dump? I really don't know. I think if you look at what a lot of people are doing, it's making a lot better fights because people are able to focus a little more on what they're doing, I think. And I hope that's the case. You know, no matter what, I train hard.
You're on a pretty big card here, like Ryan Bader title fight on it. You have like Julia Buds fighting on it. Are these kind of the cards you want to be on?
Yeah, I'm excited about this card because you got Ryan Bader, who is, you know, a legend, obviously, and will always be. And it's great to be on the same card as him. Also, you know, Roy Nelson's a guy I've been watching for a long time. I think it's just a fun card to be on, and I think it's one that a lot of people are going to want to see a lot of fights on the card.
This will be your first fight in this, like, COVID era where you have to do all the COVID testing. Is that something you're nervous about? I'm sure you've seen all the videos of those testing, the stuff going up your nose and down your throat and stuff.
I'm breaking up a little bit here. I think you're talking about fighting during COVID with everything. Yeah, I'm taking a bunch more of those. That's That's no fun. But, you know, we're professionals. It's what we've got to do to be able to work. And as much as I'm not going to love it, it's what we got to do. And I'm just happy to be there and be able to go out there and earn a paycheck and do what we're supposed to do.
And just last thing, if everything goes your way on Friday night, how quickly would you want to turn this thing around? Just because you haven't fought in quite a while, just do it everything.
Yeah, you know, that's something I've rolled over my mind a lot. If everything goes right, how long do I sit out? Because I know they're trying to put a lot of fights together for people right now. So I would love it if I got something on. And if not, you know, I'm just glad. It'd be fantastic if I could get a short turnaround after this, assuming everything goes well on Friday.
Sorry, you cut out there. I didn't even hear any of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was just saying I'd love to have a short turnaround if they need guys to get in and fill spots, because I know it's hard to get fights together right now. So if I get a short turnaround, I'd be excited about that. And if not, you know, I understand other guys got to get fights. I'm just happy to get something relatively early on with the short start back.
All right, well, John, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you. I had a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem.